Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Muruti Museki Dumela.
Dumela ntate.
Le kae re?
Good day, how are you, sir?
No, le nna ke teng Muruti, ga go sepe. Everything is well and good, and we are grateful for the fantastic weather. I hope go siame koo.
Yes, I'm in Mpumalanga, by the way, so it's sunny here.
Oh, okay. Are you in Mpumalanga? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a hot place, actually, eh?
It's a hot place.
It's a hot place, indeed. All right. Now, Pastor, we're continuing with our conversation that we started yesterday, Christian response to injustice and inequality. And we're holding up the mirror to ourselves today, you know, as we discuss this subject. And we're addressing the question of whether or not injustice and inequality exists within our organization, our church organization. So let's get our egos and personal biases out of the way. If you're joining me and you're listening in, I'd like you to also comment on this one. Please do call us on +27734703520. Let's put every biases away. Let's put egos away. And let's be real as we address this subject. And the pastor is going to help us to navigate that path. Now, Muruti, how are we, as a church, meant to respond to, you know, injustice and inequality?
The number of ways as to how we are to respond to injustice and inequality, and we are to stand for justice according to Micah chapter 6, verse 8.
Yeah.
You know, we are consistently called to stand for justice, especially for the marginalized. And we are supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Mark chapter 12, verse 81 gives us that. You know, when we love someone, we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So that will solve a whole lot of inequalities and injustices. We will not be found in the end or in the affection that actually perpetuates injustices, but we'll rather, you know, do our part to make sure that justice and equality are being observed, because we are thinking of ourselves. How would we have them treat us if we're in the same situation? Also, we are to speak truth to those who are in power, to those who are authorities. There is a whole lot of bootlicking. There's a whole lot of saying untruths to those who are in power, just so that we can be seen to be in favor with them. But being a Christian, we will need to be like, you know, Amos. You need to be like Isaiah. You need to be like John the Baptist, who spoke against the powerful when they perpetuated injustice and inequality. And we as a church, we have a prophetic role to challenge unjust policies and leaders, advocating for the voiceless and holding those in power accountable. That is our part as a church that we have to play. I'm not saying that we should, you know, affiliate with political colors and political philosophies and parties. No, we just have to speak against injustice and inequality. And above all, we are supposed to promote reconciliation. I mean, there are instances where there has been injustices in the past, inequalities in the past. So instead of us as a church perpetuating that, we should enter into dialogue to bring reconciliation. Remember, Paul says that our gospel is a gospel of reconciliation.
Yeah.
So we should act that part of being mediators. How can we right the wrongs that have been done in the past? And if it's something that cannot be righted, how can we move on from now going forward to make sure that those who come after, they have a better legacy than those who lived in the past? So that is basically what we should do as a church.
But do we do that then, though, Pastor?
We, by and large, we fail at some point. We fail because we have some injustices and inequalities in the church.
Yeah.
And we can't be a beacon of justice and equality while we fail to do that within our own walls as a church. I mean, there is the issue of, sexual abuse and cover-ups in the church that is happening.
Unfortunately.
The clergy is abusing congregants. This is across all churches. I don't want to mention names, but you have there are instances we hear of this and that. And we cover it up because of the person is maybe an elder, the person is a pastor, a priest, or some high position person in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We hide it, and we know that it is happening. And then some even, you know, trade their children, their girl children or their boy children, to those who are in power in churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep mum about these things. And there's also the issue of favoritism to the wealthy, you know, economic inequality, where in some churches, favoritism has been shown to those who are wealthy. Just because this person, you know, that he owns this and that and that and that, he does as he pleases in the church. And if so and so, who doesn't really bring much, does the same thing, the first thing that we do is we make sure that we discipline that person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an injustice of some kind. And one that worries me is nepotism.
Yeah.
How we get those who are ministers or workers in the church to occupy such positions. There are instances whereby you know that, oh no, there has been an advertisement for a post maybe, but already it's occupied. Why are they advertising it in the first place?
Yeah, yeah.
There are instances whereby, you know, they'd be like, no, we don't want this guy who studied there. We don't want this guy who went there to be a minister or to be a minister of the gospel in this church. So we are not going to hire him. Yes, we'd rather suffer than hire you. We'd rather have overworked pastors than hire you. So that is some form of nepotism, and it is basically an injustice and an inequality because we are not doing what we are called to do as a church.
Yeah.
And then this other one, I wanted to mention it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
the one of gender inequality in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The discrimination in ministry opportunities. And I'm saying this, when I say minister, I'm thinking about ministering. I'm not talking about positions. Positions, I think, is something else at some other time. But I want to focus on the issue of ministering. You have a sister who God has given a message to preach.
Mm.
Now, so no, because she's simply a woman, will not allow her to preach.
Mm.
That is inequality. It's unbiblical. Women preach in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Women preach in the formation of this movement, Seventh-day Adventist Church and other churches. Even at the time when historically it was not found to be fitting for a woman to speak in public, but because of the gifts that God had given them, the gift to teach, the gift to preach, they were allowed to do that. And now today, in some churches, not all of the churches, even within Adventism, they say, no, because you're a woman, we cannot preach. That is an injustice and an inequality.
Yeah. Now, you know, this morning I came across a statement coming from the KwaZulu-Natal Free State Conference within the Southern African Union. And this statement is a statement against sexual abuse. I thought, wow, I haven't seen this in ages, actually, in the church. Where it says, I'm going to read the second paragraph. It says, in response to recent allegations of sexual abuse of minors by a church member, which was on the 15th of August, which means this is fresh, actually, 5 days ago, KNFC reiterates its strong stance against all forms of abuse, especially those involving vulnerable individuals like children. Now, KNFC is committed to creating a safe, nurturing environment within our churches, schools, and also institutions. It says we pledge to support survivors of sexual abuse, ensuring that they receive the care, compassion, and justice they deserve. And I thought, Pastor, I'm not going to read the rest of it. I thought that this was actually quite a breath of fresh air that the church is at least making a public statement about this. But another would say, is it enough, though, to make statements, or should we allow, as a church, the law to take its course in instances like that?
Yes, actually, it should be well within our rights as a church, because when we make a statement, we are basically saying that we are not condoning it. And only that statement says that they will support them so that justice is served, basically paraphrasing it.
Mm.
So, and justice means that now you are going to allow the law to take its course. Remember, according to Romans chapter 13, God has put the government in powers, or in power rather. He has appointed the government to do the part of punishing those who do evil.
Yeah.
And the sexual abuse of anyone, you know, anyone, that is basically a violation of their civil rights. It's messing up with their liberty and their pursuit of peace. And the government has jurisdiction over that part. It doesn't mean that if the church reports a person who perpetuated that, the church is being less Christian. No, they are being very Christian by doing that.
Mm, 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 mm.
They are being unchristian when they keep it under, under the blankets and they want to hide it.
Mm, mm.
So it should be followed up by actually the action of, okay, no, we know who the culprit is. Police, you can come and do the investigations and not try to protect that person.
Mm, mm. That's good. Now, Pastor, I'm wondering, because you see, as church members, we come from different backgrounds and we're exposed to different, environments and how we were raised in terms of our traditions and cultures as well. Now, does every member within the church, therefore, regardless of these backgrounds and cultures, do we have to be on the same page about what constitutes injustice and inequality? Because, these may be different from one area to the next. You know, a person, for instance, in one area may believe that, well, men are meant to be heads anyways. What is a woman doing in leadership? Because culturally, we don't understand that. And another would say, no, but that's an injustice. So are we supposed to be understanding these things the same way as members of the church?
I mean, not necessarily. Not every member within the church will necessarily be on the same page about what constitutes injustice, especially given the diversity of backgrounds, cultures, and personal experiences. But there are certain things that can help us navigate this as a church. Number one, you have unity in core values. While there may be differences in specific interpretations, the church should aim for unity around core biblical values such as justice, love, mercy, and compassion. Now, these values should be should guide the church collectively in their understanding of injustice. And then we have also the biblical guidance. The Bible provides a foundation for understanding justice. So regular teaching, regular studies, and dialogue around scripture can help align the church's views. Conversations like this in this platform, and I hope that can be taken to the local churches, such conversations, they can help to align the church's views. I mean, we evolve in our understanding of concepts. No man says that I have parked my car here, I stop here. No, we advance and we evolve in our understanding and how we articulate it and see how far it spreads and all that. And also, we need to be culturally sensitive. I should recognize that cultural backgrounds can influence the perceptions of justice and injustice. So what seems unjust to one person might not be perceived in the same way by someone from a different culture, for example. Just the issue of there's a third wife kind of concept, and then there are those guys, brothers, who are like, you know what, I can cook, I can clean around. It doesn't mean that I'm less of a husband to my wife. So there is that aspect, I think, being culturally sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
So the church should create space for these differences to be explored and understood, not to say that, we stand with this. I mean, it's just an issue of that is not really a violation of any moral code.
Mm-hmm.
These are just little differences that don't really make a big issue or that really matter a lot. And we also need to encourage, dialogue and listening, encouraging open, respectful dialogue within the church. This is very crucial, where we talk about these issues without prejudice, without fear or favor.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that we can do to navigate the differences that we have and to try and get us to understand the broadness of what constitutes justice and injustice.
Beautiful. Now, before I let you go, Pastor, I think let's go to the last one. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, is a worldwide organization. In certain parts of the world, as you also stated briefly yesterday, the church has been accused of racial divisions. Is it simply a matter of cultural differences again, or is it a clear case of racial segregation? How can our many different cultures learn to coexist rather than being comfortable with divisions?
Yes. Now, there is no racial or cultural segregation churches within the SD church and other churches, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sad part in our history where a black woman was not treated at a hospital because of the existing laws of the state. Now, by and large, the state of the nation or how the nation operates, the political atmosphere of the nation, it can influence how church members interact to a large degree. It can, although it shouldn't, but it does most of the time. So, and this kind of setup can send mixed messages to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here are some of the perspectives to consider.
Yeah.
You know, the issue of unity versus division. So the presence of a racial or cultural distinct congregation might unintentionally suggest that the church endorses division, even if that is not the intention of the church. So this can undermine the church's message of unity in Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, according to Galatians 3, verse 28.
Mm.
You see, so there is that aspect. You can send mixed messages. And then there's also the issue of cultural relevance. On the other hand, I mean, these distinctions might be seen as the church respecting cultural identities, as the question outlined, and allowing people to worship in ways that resonate with their heritage and experiences. Now, this can be positive as long as it doesn't lead to exclusion or a lack of interaction with others outside of one's cultural group.
Mm.
There are places whereby someone comes in, they're a bit, you know, dark colored than the rest of the people. They say, look, you know what? We know a church for you. We'll take you there. They don't even ask whether you understand the language. I have a friend of mine. She understood the language. They said, no, nonetheless, we will take you to a church that suits you. So that sends a wrong message that, no, we only want to assist with those who are ours. And also this now would mean that it gives us a problem of how are we going to live in heaven? Because if we say that we cannot associate with other people of other cultures, then we are excluding ourselves and thinking that we and ourselves, we are self-sufficient. We don't need other people to come in. And that can send a wrong message. But again, we cannot force integration. That we have to be careful.
True.
We cannot force
actually,
people
very
to
true.
Together.
Mm.
Yeah, it has to be something that actually, I think if people understand these issues well and properly, these divisions that are there by race or culture, they will fall off. We will see how can we coexist with our cultural differences and the differences of our skin color and still enjoy the beauty of unity in our diversity or in our differences, how we appear to do things. So I think, and that is what we are called to do according to John chapter 17, you know, where Christ is praying that we be one just as he and the Father are one. So I think that's how I can conclude it, you know, that we have to be intentional about it. Are we really trying to and fighting to be seen as one, to present a united front to the world, so that when you call out racism in the world does not say, well, there is an appearance of racism in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is appearance of injustice and segregation in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be intentional about it and answer the prayer of Christ in John chapter 17, that you all be one, even as he and the Father are one.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, man. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for this. You know, I like it when you say we really cannot force, people to be, working together, et cetera, et cetera. We just have to make sure that we pray and encourage, et cetera, et cetera. Because other people have been raised from a young age to think that, these ones are superior and these ones are inferior. And therefore, because you are superior, you're supposed to be acting like this. And because you're inferior, this is how you act. But hey, God, man, I love God because he says, all of us are equal in his eyes.
Amen.
There's no one who is superior or inferior. There's no Jew nor Gentile. There's no male or female. Everyone he sees as the same way. I do want to thank you. I think with that in mind, as Christians in general, we should be then able to literally look at each other simply as children of the Most High. Hey?
Amen.
Now, tomorrow we're going to be focusing on the socio-political issues in our society and how we as Christians should be able to intervene there and address those. But for today, I do want to thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless you.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.